Celtics come out and dominate in the first preseason game. Sam Hauser was on fire. We had Malcolm Brogdon giving the Celtics exactly what they need, and Fiondo Cabangeli doing one of the most awesome things I've seen, and it's all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
And welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. This is a daily free podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm here for you every day, Monday through Friday. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. The show is on YouTube as well. I'm John Corrales, former professional basketball player, now credentialed beat writer covering the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, now in my 16th season covering the Celtics. And today I'm coming to you. If you are watching on YouTube, it looks like a nondescript room with a bathroom behind me and a TV with a Celtics logo on it. So you say, this could be basically anywhere. This could be just a hospital room with a Celtics logo that I stuck in the TV. I'm at the Garden, but they're switching the floor over, so I can't be out there on the floor. But I am here after the Celtics just demolished the Charlotte Hornets 134-93. Not that anybody really cares what the score is, but I will say that for, you know, Joe Mazzulla coming in and being a first-time head coach, walking out of here with a 41-point win makes things a lot easier. You're not worried about calling timeouts. You're not worried about, this lineup isn't working. This lineup is going so badly that I have to call a timeout and get people on the same page. They turn the ball over a ton. They turn the ball over 24 times for 21 points. That's unacceptable. But there wasn't a moment where he had to sit everybody down and say, you know, wake up. And that's a good thing. If I'm looking for an immediate good thing, there it is. That Joe Mazzulla, yeah, obviously he had to coach the team, but he didn't have to go through all of the pitfalls of a poor performance, which I'm sure he's going to at some point. But a nice, easy, calm debut for Joe Mazzulla as interim head coach. So that was nice. That was a nice thing to see. You don't get to see a lot of things in a preseason game that mean anything. I talk about those data points, that one point, the one push pin in the board that you tie the yarn to and you want to connect it to a second point so you can try to start connecting dots and seeing what you have here on this team. You don't see a lot of that stuff in just one preseason game. You don't know what's an aberration. You don't know what's real, what's not. But for the Celtics to come out and just roll the Hornets, obviously, anytime you win by 40, that's a good thing, right? There's your analysis. That's why I'm here podcasting for you. Analysis like that. Take a second, process it. Don't try to go, you know, blow your brain out trying to figure that one out. But just remember, write it down. Winning by 41 is good. The Celtics, I mean, really, to pull off a 41-point win, turning the ball over 24 times, losing the turnover battle as badly as they did, is pretty impressive. I mean, you have to pull out something special there. And what that was 22 for 47. From three. They scored 66 points from three. Charlotte was 5 of 33. They scored 15 points from three. There's your disparity right there. The Celtics gave up 101 field goal attempts. That's not going to win you a lot of games. When you give up that many field goal attempts, the other team just invariably just puts up a lot of points. Even though they shot poorly, you have to have a shooting game that's this bad for Charlotte. 34.7%, 15% from three. They even shot like crap from the line, 18 of 28. That's 64.3%. That's why this game was as lopsided as it was. If they hit shots at even just an average rate, this would have been a close game. And the Celtics, I'd be sitting here talking about, wow, they shot 57% from three. I'm 57% overall, 47% from three. And they were in a dogfight with Charlotte because they turned the ball over a bunch. Those turnovers have to get cleaned up. I'm willing to give them the pass of this is a Sunday afternoon preseason game, little sloppy, new guys integrated, weird lineups. You haven't really played together a whole lot. You're still getting used to everything again. So I'm willing to give them that little bit of slack, but it's something that they have to clean up for sure. Today's episode, by the way, is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA. The Celtics got away with the bad turnover game because of their shooting, and their shooting came from it really broke the game open in the second quarter, where Sam Hauser and Grant Williams were part of a 13-2 run in the beginning of the second quarter. They were responsible for all the points. The only points they didn't score was on a basket that Grant Williams assisted on. So they did a great job there in the second quarter as part of a 13-2 run that kind of broke the game open. But again, I'm not so worried about the win or the you know, winning the game at all or what the score was. It's about how they played, and how they played was pretty good. The most impressive part of this is the assist number, 41 assists on 48 made baskets. That is phenomenal. That's as amazingly good as 24 turnovers is amazingly bad. And so that's part of why they were able to make so many shots. Everybody was dropping dimes in here. The only players who didn't, Noah Vonleh, who didn't play well, Fiondo Cabangeli, who I'll get to later, Jake Lehman at the end, Lucas Simonic in the end. So not worried about that. But everyone else, Brogdon led the way with 9, 4 for White, 4 for Horford, 3 for Tatum, 3 for Smart, 5 for Peyton Pritchard, 4 for Grant Williams. Grant Williams, what a nice game he had. Grant Williams played really, really well. And not just shooting, because, you know, hot shooting night, poor shooting night, that's going to happen. Grant Williams had a really nice game offensively, attacking closeouts. He had one move where I forget the center who came out to guard him, but he came out and Grant just caught the ball, boom, went, drove left fluidly, finished with his left hand. Like, wow, Grant, you did that? He did a really nice job attacking in this game, finding his teammates. Fluid, very fluid game for Grant Williams, who at his size can tend to be, you know, more bull in a china shop type of guy, but impressed with what I saw in that first game. Let's see what if that can continue. Sam Hauser's really maybe the biggest story coming out of this game. Hauser was 4 of 5 from 3, 5 of 6 overall, 14 points. He had 3 rebounds and 2 assists. One of those assists was an alley-oop to Fiondo Cabangeli. So, you know, Hauser's out there throwing lobs. That's nice. You don't see that very often. But Hauser, as the catch-and-shoot guy, is so important for the Celtics. That element, and we, again, it's one game, hot shooting. You expect it to carry over somewhat. And Sam Hauser, after the game, said, you know, things are slowing down for me. He played better defense, not great defense, but better defense. He showed exactly what the Celtics needed to see from him. Guys driving, Malcolm Brogdon driving, and I'll get to Brogdon in the second segment here. Malcolm Brogdon driving and kicking out to Hauser, and Hauser hitting threes with guys coming at him, and, you know, pressure closing down on him, and he hit the shots. It was very impressive. He has such a nice soft touch. That ball just, he just gets that little extra arc on his shot than most guys do on their three-pointers. It just looks pretty. I feel like this feeling of satisfaction watching him shoot. It's just very, the ball almost makes a different sound going through the net. It just is really nice. This is the type of performance. everybody kind of knew that Hauser was there to be a shooter. And so it's not shocking that he hit a few shots, but this is the type of performance early on that gets people's attention. You see a tweet from John Schumann of NBA.com saying, oh, now I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by Sam Hauser. And he put out a little highlight reel of Hauser. And that's the type of reaction that gets other teams saying, okay, we have to worry about this guy. And that's exactly the role that he's supposed to have on this team. The shooter that the other team needs to worry about. If the other team is worried about him, then you see defenders staying one step closer to him. And that opens up the lanes just a little bit more. And that, on top of giving you 14 points, if you can get Sam Hauser 10 to 14 points off the bench, hitting a few shots for you, hitting a few threes for you, that's going to be a major element for the season. Again, game one, we'll see. He's out there. Defensively is going to be the issue for him, but it's going to be really important for the Celtics to get that kind of shooting from him. If they can use him in their in these lineups with the starters, that would be a great element. So great debut for Sam Hauser here in this role. Now let's duplicate it. You can make a great debut as an employer if you use LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. I've used LinkedIn Jobs before. Lots of leads out there just as a person looking for a job. It's a great place to go when I was looking for a job. I found it to be very, very helpful. So you can add your job to in the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile. It spreads the word that you're hiring. It's got simple tools like screening questions to make it easy to focus on candidates with the right skills and the right experience. So you can help quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. Look, I just talked about having the right team member on the Celtics, having Sam Hauser in that right spot. The right team member helps build your business, just like it helps the Celtics build their business of winning basketball. So small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview starting October 10th. That's next week. A 6-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NBA season. All of us local team experts and the NBA insiders of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey all combining into one Ultimate NBA Preview starting October 10th. I was a part of this, so make sure you check it out. Search for Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's continue talking about this 41-point blowout win by the Celtics. And a couple of things that were intriguing. The lineup that I've been asking for, didn't see it much, didn't see it enough to make any determinations. But the lineup of Brogdon, Smart, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, that was deployed a couple of times. They immediately started to target Derek White because he's the smallest and the thinnest of the group. And they put Plumlee on him. They ran some sets, very quick, very smart to run some sets that got Plumlee diving down in the paints, sealing Derek White. White had to take a foul on one of them. I forget what happened on the second one, but it might've been another foul, but that is certainly one of the pitfalls of that lineup. You have a small guy in Derek White that you can run some sets to get their big guy matched up on him. However, it did cause some chaos out there. And I think there's potential for that lineup. And I think there's considering this team's issues at small forward, I mean, at power forward and in the front line, the use of this lineup with Jason Tatum as your center is something that it's going to have to be explored. It's definitely going to have to be explored. You can't play Al Horford 82 games. He's just not going to do that. He's going to get his rest. Without Robert Williams, you got to go to different solutions. I asked Joe Mazzulla about this lineup after the game, and I'll dive deeper into it as the days go on here. But I do think that there's a place for that lineup. It's just how much can you use it and against whom? You're not going to use it much against the, you know, Philadelphia 76ers on opening night. That's not going to be a place where you use that lineup. But can you use it against smaller teams or teams without big bruising centers? Can you use it against maybe the Atlanta Hawks? That could be a team where you want to get crazy and run and have a real switchable defense against a great offense, but you can put Clint Capella in some trouble. I like that, because what it does is it takes, if Atlanta wants to say, oh, well, fine, do that. We'll just post Capella up against Derek White and run our offense through him. I, as a coach, would say, fine, we'll take our chances with that, because he's not going to score every time. And you can accommodate for that. And you're not running your offense through Trae Young or DeJounte Murray or John Collins. Like, that type of team would be a place where this could be used. So situationally, I think there's a spot for it. Saw a little bit of it against the Charlotte Hornets. We'll see more of it, I'm sure, as it goes on. One of the keys to that lineup, though, is Malcolm Brogdon. And I wanted to highlight Malcolm Brogdon because I did highlight him on the Boston Sports Journal. That was my featured column after this game. I thought Brogdon showed immediately what he's capable of doing for this team. I thought Brogdon was really, really good in, first of all, I think balance is going to be the word I use a lot for him, because I think he balances this team out a lot. He helps bring that balance to the team. Another guy who can drive. You saw that the drive and kicks when there's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown occupying so much of the attention of the other team's defense. Well, now you've got Malcolm Brogdon either as a second driver or a third driver, and then the kickoff of that leading to open shots or going against the weaker defender. And this is an element that we didn't really talk about. We haven't really talked about a whole lot, but Malcolm said it after the game. He said, I'm not going to have the other team's best defender on me every night, which is a key element here. The best defenders are going to be on Tatum and Brown, right? Those are going to be the guys. And if you've got shooters on the floor, you have to accommodate for them, and you have a bigger defender out there if you're playing Cleveland. I mean, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen are going to be occupied. And if you have Mobley covering, you know, who does he guard? Tatum, maybe? And Horford's on the floor occupying a big. Well, now you got one of your lesser defenders on Malcolm Brogdon, who has been successful against other teams' best defenders. So now you take the second best or third best or fourth best defender in that lineup, and you put him on Brogdon, a little bit easier to break somebody down. And that forces help, and then that opens up the drive and kick and the rotations, swing, 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 open shot. What Brogdon did in this game, didn't do anything eye-popping, didn't do anything where you say, you know, oh my God, did you see what Brogdon did? No, what he did was he dropped 9 dimes, 5 of them for three-pointers, and just capably ran everything. And no surprise, when he was on the floor, the Celtics did really, really well. The plus-minus was an 18 in this game. 18 points better when Brogdon was on the floor. That second quarter was a weird lineup. But that second quarter with Hauser and Grant Williams and Malcolm Brogdon, I forget who else was on the floor, but it wasn't the starters. It was just it was a Brogdon kind of raising the level of other guys. And that's something that the Celtics can lean on too. Times where you can go against a weaker bench and you bring Brogdon in against that weaker bench and have him just be the focal point, he's been the focal point of offenses for years now. So he can come in and when Marcus is on the floor, he can come in and be playing off the ball. When Marcus comes off and Derek White's not on the floor, or even when Derek White's on the floor, Malcolm Brogdon becomes the point guard and he shifts into more of an on-ball role. And once the ball is moving on offense, no matter what, he's just another guy who can attack. Another ball handler who can attack. I made this analogy. I've made this analogy a bunch of times. But if you ever have a wire hanger and you want to bend it, if you've listened to this podcast enough, you've heard me make this analogy before. The more you bend the wire hanger, it's eventually going to break. That's the best way I can describe what you're supposed to be doing to a defense. Attack, drive, kick. If the shot's not there, drive it again. Bend that hanger again. Brogdon gives the Celtics another guy who can bend the hanger. That's the best way I can put it. So watching Brogdon out there drive, draw attention, kick it out to Sam Hauser, you know that Sam Hauser wants to shoot, but you got to account for Brogdon. When you got guys on the other end of the floor, other side of the floor, occupied with Tatum and Brown, now there's less help. And when there's less help, but you still need help defensively, that's where breakdowns really happen. Plus, he can shoot. There was an inbounds play where I think Terry Rozier, two guys went with Brogdon, and it was just a quick little boop, drop it off to Sam Hauser, wide open three. Terry Rozier made a wrong decision, miscommunication. Miscommunications happen all the time in the preseason, happen all the time during the season. But the miscommunications are more likely when a guy like Brogdon has the ball and somebody overreacts. So I thought it was an important game for Brogdon. And one of those things where you can kind of see immediately that Brogdon is going to be a steadying, balancing force for this team. That one more guy, the pressure that he takes off of his teammates is huge. I think that's huge. Definitely going to talk more about Brogdon tomorrow and heading into the next games. Up next, Fiondo Cavangeli did one of the funniest, most amazing things I've seen. And it's even better when you hear what he said after the game. I'm going to talk about that next. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your football betting information. I am recording this as the Patriots are playing. So you could have bet. I know the Patriots were winning at one point, but who knows how that's going to go. Well, you'll know how that went because by the time you listen to this, the game will be over. You could have bet on it at betonline.net. You can find all the latest player developments, which the Patriots have plenty of, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores on every sport out there, including the NBA, including Major League Baseball, which is heading into the playoffs, MMA, boxing, golf. It's all there at betonline.net, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events. So head on over to the website, betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd your second listen? I know you're getting ready to do your fantasy basketball drafts. Listen to Josh. He knows everything you need to know. He's the expert. He's the guy. Locked On Fantasy Basketball. He is the number one fantasy basketball podcast on the planet for a reason. And you'll know that when you subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts, also on YouTube. Got to mention Jaylen Brown. First quarter, Jaylen Brown was in full effect again, but he finished the game with 24 points, 8 of 11 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. Nice game from Jaylen Brown. Don't want to overlook that. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 turnovers, not great. Jason Tatum, I'm not worried about Jason Tatum. 16 points, 5 turnovers, 4 of 11 shooting, not a great game for him. Horford was nice and steady. Nice game, perfect 3 for 3, 2 of 2 from 3. We got Derek White, Marcus Smart. Okay, they were okay. Nothing special. Noah Vonleh, I didn't think was very good at all. He did have 9 rebounds, but he a bunch of defensive mistakes. Fouled like crazy. Had 5 personal fouls in 13 minutes. That's not good. That means you're out of position. And I'm not sold on Vonleh after that one game. We'll see what happens in game two. Don't want to make any determinations, but that was not good. Fiondo Cabangeli had the play of the game, which was just diving for the loose ball. But he looked kind of lost out there for a long time. And I thought for a while there, I'm like, this guy's not really getting it. And there were plays where he was trying to set a pick on one guy, and he was actually supposed to set a pick on, you know, Jalen's guy in the corner, and he just looked a little lost. But chalk it up to excitement, right? Chalk it up to nerves. He got his feet under him a little bit as the game went on. And I don't know what he's going to end up doing for the Celtics, but the dive on the for the loose ball on the floor, forcing the jump ball, kind of got him going. And he got pumped up. He did finish with 10 points. He was 4-4. He hit a three, which is nice. He's not really a three-point shooter, but he hit the three, caught a couple of lobs. That was really good. After the game, he said, when what was asked of him, rebound and roll. The two R's, double R's. Rebound and roll, baby. That's it. And he did that. He rebounded a little bit. He rolled. He got a couple of offensive rebounds, kept plays alive, drew an and one that got him really pumped up too. But the dive for the loose ball was awesome. Not just because, hey, get on the floor, get after it, earn your spot, right? It was awesome because he got up and was so pumped up and so in a rage, like not a rage, but like just hyped, that the referee was walking up to him. He had the ball. The referee was walking up to him with his hand out. And Cabangeli daps him up. Just big, just boom, slaps that hand. And just the referee, I looked at the replay and looking at his face was like, what? What are you doing, man? Just give me the ball. So I thought that was funny. And after the game, we're talking to him in the locker room. And side note, this dude is all smiles. He is so happy to be here. He's just thrilled to be part of the team, to be in the NBA, especially to be, you know, in the garden, walking around. He's looking at the banners. He's really into the whole thing. He's talking about asking Al Horford about, you know, different tips and everything. He's like, this is amazing. He really is just the happiest guy. He's like a legitimately nice guy. I come out of that locker room thinking like, geez, I'm really rooting for this guy. So I ask him about the diving play. And I said, you know, tell me about like when you saw the ref and you dapped up the ref. And he didn't know. Even at the end, after the game in the locker room, he didn't know that he had done that. He's like, that was a ref? He says, I just came up. I was so locked in. I just saw a hand and I dapped him up. So he apologized for it. I thought that was amazing that I just saw a hand. So I slapped it. that's just great. That's great. I think that his enthusiasm and just, he has this wide-eyed kind of nature about him. It's just like, okay, this is so amazing. I'm here. I'm in the NBA. I have this opportunity. I'm hoping that he can take advantage of this opportunity because after everything this Celtics team has been through, and, you know, you start to have conversations with different people around the building and not trying to find out all of the dirty details because I don't care about that. But you start to hear about, like, how much this is bothering people and how just impacted a lot of people are by that whole scandal. That impact has been felt throughout the organization. I think having a guy like Cabangeli around, and I know he's on a two-way contract, he's going to stick around for a while, but I really want to, I think it would be amazing if he could hang on for beyond this season. He's just the right kind of guy to have on this team. And just his attitude, you got to have like this bright kind of light in the locker room. I think the guys are pretty good. I think they're doing well enough and they're focusing on basketball, which is getting them through a lot. But having a guy with Cabangeli's attitude, just it helps. It helps. You know, when things are tough and you get that one person who's super happy and you're like, you know what? Your attitude is just thank you. You're lifting me up. I mean, I don't know. Maybe sometimes somebody with that attitude, you just want to go the other way with it. But I think Cabangeli can be, first of all, he could be helpful to this team in spots. He could be the energy guy. His game resembles Robert Williams in that he's a roller and a shot blocker, and he's got pogo sticks for legs. But he's more like Robert Williams from like his rookie year, where he was just a little bit too confused and there's a little too much, deer in the headlights going on. He's always trying to jump and all of that. So, but I just love his attitude. He talked for like 4 minutes after the game and he was just smiling. I think he was thrilled to be in front on doing a media session, you know, to see reporters in front of his face. I think he was just like, this is cool, man. I really felt it makes me happy. It makes me happy. So I think it's we'll see what he does and moving forward. But good energy guy and just good vibes guy. All right, I'm sure there's a lot more to get to. The Celtics are practicing on Monday, so there will be a practice and a rewatch of the game and just maybe trying to dive into some other stuff. So much more on tomorrow's podcast. But that's my initial reaction here after the Celtics' first preseason game. There's another one on Wednesday. So I'll be here post-game for that. I do post-games on every game except for Friday, Saturday, unless it's like a monster thing. I cover that on the next podcast. So that's the schedule. That's how you know. That's what you can expect from me. So Monday through Friday podcast. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast. Doesn't matter what it is, what service Locked On Celtics is on there. And on YouTube, watch a show on YouTube. And you can see me in this nondescript little room with white cinder blocks and white partitions and just kind of, whatever, here at the Garden. I promise you there's a basketball court like through this wall somewhere, but I'm here at the game. So subscribe, comment, like the video, and really share the video. Tell everybody, tell your friends, tell everyone that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.